I'm Lorna Bryant, and this is KHSU. I'm speaking with Kev Marcus, violinist from the group Black Violin. He and Will B, a viola player, make this duo of hip-hop, classical, and R&B all meshed together. Kev, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Lorna.
So I remember growing up as a kid in the inner city, being introduced to classical music in a subliminal way. I remember watching Looney Tunes, and there was classical music playing all throughout every episode. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized, oh, that sounds familiar. Well, it's the truth. And, you know, a lot of the youth of today, they don't know that, but they have something called Black Violin. It's nothing subliminal about your message. And you put classical music right in the face of today's youth. Tell me why.
Well, you know, I feel like when we were growing up, I would always be listening to hip hop, like constantly in my headphones. I mean, between classes, on the way to school, after school, I was obsessed with the hip hop culture, you know. But every day, second period in middle school, throughout middle school and high school, I had orchestra class, you know, and I studied this violin, you know, vigorously during the days. And my teacher was really good, and he was on us, and he pushed us, and he always told us we could realize our truest heights if we just really focus on this instrument. And I did that. But at the same time, I just had like this love affair with hip hop, you know, particularly growing up in the early 90s, you know, mid 90s, where hip hop to me was at its best, when it was like, it was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Like, it's like storytelling type of hip hop. Amazing beats where they're sampling, you know, James Brown and, you know, Miles Davis beats, and they're sampling, you know, Funkadelic, and they're just bringing, you know, Michael Jackson is bringing that sound into something that defined my generation. And I feel like I love that, and I listen to that, and I live that. And all the while, I studied classical music at a high level.
Wow.
So for us, it was like, and this is the same with Will. So, and we met in high school in orchestra class. That's where Will and I met. And we both had this intense love affair with hip hop and popular music at the time, but we both studied violin and viola respectively at very high levels. You know, we had one of the better orchestras in the state, and both of us got full scholarships to college and playing viola at the time, actually. And but at the same time, we were so enamored, just like we loved hip hop. And we studied classical. So for us, I mean, to put it together and to present it to kids in that way is a no-brainer. I mean, to give you an example, this morning we played at the Hunt School in Princeton, New Jersey. And it was just a sea of kids. I don't know, maybe about 600 kids were at the school. And we did a show for them, and it's like a concert. I mean, it was like the teachers had to stop the kids from crowd surfing because they were crowd surfing at the concert. And I looked down at my instrument, and I'm like, man, we're playing violins. But, you know, this is what we had always envisioned. We envisioned kind of like a hip-hop, rock, popular concert that was being led by violins. And now we're doing it in front of children, a couple hundred thousand kids a year, and we're able to convey both of them at the same time, and more than anything, talk about, or at least introduce in the mind, like, man, I didn't think that was possible. Like, they put violins in hip hop, and they're big black guys, and they're playing it. Well, what else isn't possible? You know,
wow.
What can I do that no one else thought of? And that's really what we try to do with it. So, you know, we feel like, you know, by putting these two worlds together, presenting it to these kids in this way, and adults, I mean, we play for everyone, you know, all over the world, but, you know, we do a fair amount of work that's just dedicated to performing for children. And we give them music in a way that they're accustomed to receiving it, but we make them think about the instrument, the person playing the instrument, and what is possible. We try to interweave all of that together to be entertaining, educational, and inspiring. simultaneously and giving them just kind of a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity. And we have this resource, and we've been figuring it out for a long time, so it would be negligent to not do this to as much as possible to kids all around the world.
And they get something a little doper than Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck running around, too.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I grew up on on Tom and Jerry. That's who I remember it. And the Tom and Jerry orchestra section was incredible. Like, it just, I really got a lot of that from Tom and Jerry. That was my favorite cartoon growing up. And every time I watch it now, my kids think that it's so old. They don't even understand it. And then really, it's more violent than I remember, quite honestly, too. But just watching it. But the soundtrack, you can't beat the soundtrack of Tom and Jerry Looney Tunes. They don't make cartoons like that anymore.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's funny you say that. We viewed those cartoons with a totally different lens. I was watching for its entertainment value of the characters. And you were listening to the orchestra.
Yeah,
that's a great concept.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've come across many artists and I've been to many concerts in my lifetime, but I don't recall many artists going into the schools before a performance. And you're not only musicians, but you're educators. So when did you begin that that component of your performance?
I think that, like, you know, we began it pretty early. When we won Showtime of the Apollo back in 2004, to us and our managers and our agents at the time, working in the schools was a very clear path to getting into that. You know, I mean, we're basically taking hip-hop songs that they know. We take the lyrics out so it's completely clean, so that kids can kind of just get the vibe of the hip-hop, but then we're showing it to them and presenting it to them in a different way. I would say we learned how to be educators in this way, or how to inspire kids through doing it over and over and over for the last 12 years. I mean, and we've performed for all kinds of kids in all kinds of situations. We've performed at juvenile detention centers all across the country. I mean, far-reaching as this year, they played one in Alaska, a juvenile detention center in Alaska when we went up there. We played one in Columbus, Ohio, shortly before the election. I remember it was like maybe a week before the election, we did one there. And I don't know, I would feel like, you know, we've been kind of put in this situation and we need to, it's a must. Like, we must do this. And, you know, it's one thing to come into your town and to play a concert. It's another thing to come into the town, play a concert, talk to kids in the community, perform for these kids in the community, and maybe even in certain places, bring these kids on stage with us to perform with us. Wow. And then it's like, now not only are you just coming and you're performing, but you're coming into the community, you're talking with the community, speaking with the community, and engaging with them on your concert and bringing everyone to the same level and the same playing field. And then it leaves so much more behind once you leave. Instead of just the memory of the song, you think of the memory of this concert, and the kids have these memories of meeting us and having the crowd react to them when they do amazing things. And thinking, what more can they do? Just the self-esteem of that, I wonder how I would, I mean, I hope I would come out the same, you know, if I would have had that opportunity when I was in sixth grade or, you know, in fourth grade or, you know, and seen what else is possible and been on and should be able to share the stage or be able to watch a Black Violin concert with all of your peers in fourth grade, and you're dancing, and next to you, you look, and your teacher's dancing, and you're like, man, I never thought I would dance at a concert, and my teacher's dancing too. You know? I mean, like, I don't know what that is like, but I feel like what we have is something special, so we try to do it as much as possible, and we don't like to come into a community and we don't want to just play a show. We want to come into the community and help enrich the community in any way we can, you know?
Now, your 2015 release, Stereotypes, kind of dispels just that, you know, the stereotype that we have about music, about classical music, about putting people in boxes. Tell me about the Stereotypes project.
Well, Stereotypes, my latest release on Universal Music Classics, is it's an interesting project for us, because as we were recording this album and making the music, I don't think the core of what it was came together until we made the song Stereotypes. And then when we made the song Stereotypes, the album all made sense, and then we would call the album Stereotypes. And that song Stereotypes from my album is the very last song we made for this album. And wow. It's interesting the path that you can take to define a project. But Stereotypes, the song and the album, it basically shines light on the pretenses that most people have. And it's not necessarily a negative or a positive. It's just sort of, if you see a certain person, you as an individual are conditioned to think a certain way about that person. I mean, negative or positive. If you see someone older, you know, if I see like an elderly person crossing the street, my natural inclination is to run to that person and to help that person, because that person requires my help more because that person's older, and that's just what I've known my entire life, you know? Those change depending on who you are and how you're raised and, you know, how you see the world. But everyone does have them, including me. I mean, everyone listening has pretenses about different people, whether they're young or older. You see an Asian person, you see a black man, you see a white woman, and everyone's, you know, thinking about it is different. But, you know, what we always think is interesting is that you really can't judge a book by its cover. And, you know, like most things, nothing is what you think it is, you know. And when we're walking, for instance, through airports, and people are like, hey, so what's in that case you got there? And, you know, they're like, is that a trombone? Is that a trumpet? Is it, you know, what is that, a saxophone? And I say violin. They're like, oh, violin, because they think of me and they see 6'2", 260-pound black guy. And that's the last thing they think. I mean, that would be the last thing I would think that I would play. So I'm not, like, necessarily negative about it. I'm just saying, well, hey, look at what I've been able to do. And I've been able to use the thing that you're basing your stereotype on to take this thing to another place. And that's kind of what it's about. It's just about, like, you know, you really shouldn't judge a book by its cover, because the book is going to be so much different than you really think. And Stereotypes, the album, you know, fully, and the song from the album, that's the main purpose of it, is just shed light on it. That was everything that's going on. It seems that there's so much division within our country. This is an album that unifies, and it's just showing you that you can't judge a book by its cover, and nothing is, you know, as it seems. And you should always dig deeper and look into everything that you perceive to be some you know, regular stereotype that you have.
Absolutely. And you and Will B do a great job of dispelling just that. Now, I know you will be at Humboldt State's Van Duzer Theater on Wednesday, January 25th. What can an audience expect? And I won't just say an audience at the Van Duzer, but what can a community expect of Black Violin?
Well, first and foremost, you can expect to be entertained, educated, and inspired. You know, we are a very, very united kind of show. So as with all of our shows, it's an extremely diverse audience. So it'll be, I haven't been there before, but I'm sure it'll be white, black, purple, green, yellow. There's going to be 5-year-olds. There's going to be 70-year-olds and everything in between. And this will be a very rare opportunity where a group of people like that will all be able to get together to see and feel and experience something at the same time, but be able to feel it in different ways. It's a very high-energy show. It's very up-out-of-your-seat dance kind of thing. If you want it to be, you can also have a seat and enjoy it. And that's the beauty of it, too. Like, a couple nights ago, we were in Palm Beach, and there was maybe a 50-year-old white woman, and then right next to him was, like, maybe an 11-year-old black girl with her mother. And I could see them sitting next to each other right in the center. And there is a song that we're playing off of our album, Stereotypes, and the song is called Running. And there's a really hard hip-hop beat to the song, but it's also very lush, free-flowing strings on it. And the strings just kind of, they're running. That's what the song is for. They just flow like water. And I'm looking at this woman, this 50-year-old white woman, and she's there with her eyes closed, just like enjoying the soothing sound of the strings. And then right next to her, I see this a little 10 or 11-year-old girl, black girl that's sitting there, and she is nodding her head, and she's in her seat dancing. And they're experiencing the same exact thing at the same exact time, or they're just taking it in completely different ways. And that's what happens when you put popular music mixed with very pure Baroque classical kind of music, but you mix them together with that, you know, the cocktail has the perfect proportion where you don't lose either side. And that's what it is. That's what we, that's the thing that we try to do, is we try to make a music that does not divide. It brings you together, whether you love the violin and you just like, I love classical music, I'm a classical purist, but I hate hibbity hop, you know, and, or whether you just like, look, I love that new Drake record, I love that new Future record, you know, and I have a classical music is boring, that sounds like ballerina music, you know. Both of those people who like completely separate things will enjoy a Black Violin concert at the same time in different ways.
So can I nominate you and Will B as cabinet members for the upcoming presidential election? As let's see, I don't know if there's a specific title, but I would say something like music national unifier. I think that's something that you all can do.
I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that. And in this administration, I suppose if there's anything I can do to help, I will. We could use it. So I would love that. That's great. I mean, you know, we're not setting out to do anything amazing. We're just being who we are and trying to use all sides of ourselves. And this is something we do and who we are. And we are big about not just pushing music education, but just pushing the idea of thinking about things from a different perspective. The reason why we're successful isn't because we're such great violinists. It's because we have, from the beginning, tried to look at this thing in a different way. And from the way the violin looks, the way we play it, we may pluck it like a guitar, we may throw our bows in the air and catch them, we may do things that you just don't expect with it, and that is why we're successful. So if any person or child out there can take, hey, I saw this violin concert, and I never thought that the violin could do something like that. What can I do that I didn't think, you know, was possible? If we can just convey that, then, you know, the rest is just, that's everything to us, you know, and we use music to try to convey that message, and that's how we do it.
And you do a beautiful job at it. We're going to end with the song Vivaldi Spring. And that is a new release. And I think this song epitomizes everything you said. It's a traditional classical piece. And then the beat drops. And it is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. I mean, you know, that's a term used in the hip hop world. You know, when the beat drops. And
the beat drops.
And
yeah,
and that's what happens, and it's a beautiful thing. And
and to add to that, you know, this song Vivaldi, you know, this was like really kind of commissioned by the HBO show Ballers, because we were sitting down with the director. He had, you know, just brought us to the office just to chat. You know, we didn't have anything particular, and he brought us to his office, and he was like, "Look, I want to open with something. You know, I want to open season two with something really classical, like pure and classical, but I wanted to have some boom in it." And I was like, "Well, you come to the right place, because we specialize in classical boom. You know, that's what we do." And then that's a piece that we came up with, and they opened season two of Ballers on HBO, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson on there, and then yeah, they used that, and it was a really cool piece. So it's a Vivaldi Spring with some boom,
and the beat drops.
Yeah. And the beat drops. I love it, Lorna. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me. I've been talking to Will Marcus, the violinist of the duo Black Violin. He and Will B will perform at the Van Duzer Theater January 25th. Thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you unify this nation, one city, one town, one child at a time.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and can't wait to see all of you guys very, very soon.